Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:50 p.m. and that is Pacific Summer Time on June 28th. And today, perhaps the most important thing is that short-term oversold conditions are beginning to be unwound. And that's particularly the case in Europe, where the majority of markets were up in excess of 2% and just a couple stronger than 3%. But of course, that is particularly that's quite modest relative to the size of the declines that we've had. So then what we could perhaps more accurately describe this as is some steadying following what were some very traumatic days on the downside. But perhaps it's most important to talk about the UK, where the FTSE was stronger by 2.64%, and it has retraced quite a bit of its decline already, and not least because its decline was relatively shallow, because the pound had fallen so aggressively, and the pound was a bit firmer in here today. It was up over a cent, and it's around 133, and that's still well shy of where it was trading before the Brexit result, but at least it's an indication that we're not going to fall on consecutive days. Then when you look at individual UK shares, then, for example, the home building sector has universally pulled back in a dynamic fashion, and these are massive reactions against the prevailing trends, and these were such accelerated declines, and that it's an indication of just how well the strategy of having bids way below the market has worked. Because, for example, Persimmon or Bovis Homes or Taylor Wimpey were at their lows on Friday for just seconds before they staged pretty impressive bounces. Ryanair has pulled back very, very sharply, and that's a share that's trading on a single-digit multiple now. Then one really does have to ask, yes, the pound has fallen, and this purchasing power of the UK tourist will have declined. There's absolutely no doubt about that. However, the UK is still an attractive destination for tourists, and it just got considerably cheaper. So, particularly for Euro and US tourists. So then, is the valuation and the price at which Ryanair, for example, and a number of the other airlines pulled back particularly appropriate at these levels? And then also, I was looking at Associated British Foods, which also only spent seconds at its low and has bounced back to about where it was trading a year ago. And you know, that's a company where it has Primark, which is on a par in terms of attraction to the young demographic, on the same sort of product line as H&M and Inditex. And then they also have food ingredients and sugar, and they're truly internationally oriented as well. So that is a share then that has probably pulled back perhaps a bit too much. When we start looking around, then, you know, it's at those sorts of opportunities, because the types of truly international companies that do very little business in either the UK or Europe are those that hardly pulled back at all. And you know, for example, Bunzl or Reckitt-Benckiser or Smith & Nephew are companies that just to look at them, you would hardly think that anything had happened at all. But they are going to benefit going forward from a competitive advantage, because they are they're redenominating their foreign income into pounds. So there is the potential that these types of companies are going to exhibit continued relative strength. When we look at the broad picture, then there is a rise in populism, and that's evident in China. It's evident in North America, particularly the U.S., and it's now evident in Europe as well. And you know, then there is the potential, and this is not a short-term risk. The short-term opportunity here is that the UK embraces a free market-style economy and truly turns its face back towards the global economy rather than the inward-looking cohesion model that much of the Eurozone is looking towards. And that's a real opportunity for the UK. The medium-term risk is that populism increases, that a populist party gains power in one of the major economies and then starts to promote protectionism, or goes after corporations on an antitrust basis. I suspect that that's an increasing risk. It isn't a risk in the short term, but I think it is something that we need to bear in mind for the medium term, and it represents an additional risk premium. Now, the S&P 500 today closed out the day at 2036, and you might remember from the audio 2 days ago that it had closed at 2037. Well, one was on when it was on the way down, it was just above the moving average, and today on the way back up, it is just below the moving average, and it really does need to stage more than a one-day rally to indicate that more than a low of very short-term significance has been found. Certainly, the banking sector is something that we need to keep an eye on because it has been such a relative laggard. And yes, it did bounce in here today, but it has quite a bit of work to do to break that medium-term progression of lower rally highs. The Nasdaq was up about 2% today, but it has been a relative strength laggard as well, with a clearly evident progression of major rally highs, a low sorry, lower major rally highs. So then it really does need to string together a number of days on the upside and then to hold on to that advance during the next pullback. As a result, it is still a risky environment. When we look at the commodity sector, then this was an interesting day. The dollar was a little bit weaker. And for example, the Australian dollar was stronger today by about a half a cent. The Canadian dollar was stronger by less than half a cent. And yet, oil prices were stronger today by $1.50. And it really did need to bounce from this area, and it has. And it needs to hold it now. We have a progression of high reaction lows on that oil price, and it has been a very consistent advance up from the low in January and February. So a reaction of greater than $6 would break the, and we really have now a touchstone in terms of that uptrend, because a rally of, or sorry, a decline of more than $6 from the recent high would now break below the 200-day moving average, would break the progression of higher reaction lows, and it would represent a larger pullback and would suggest that a peak of more than short-term significance is in evidence. So, provided it holds yesterday's low, then we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to this uptrend. But we're pretty close to profitability for a number of marginal energy sectors. And the energy sector has been such a powerful contributor to the rebound that we've seen in prices so far in following that big pullback in at the beginning of the year. With the dollar just a tad weaker in here today, there were some pretty impressive rallies in some soft commodities. So sugar was quite a bit stronger in here today. Arabica coffee continues to look like it is posting a first step above the base. Lumber was limit up in here today. And soybeans was up 17, and that continues to be among the strongest of the grain and beans. And then when we look at the precious metals, with a slightly firmer tone here on stock markets, gold was a little bit weaker. It was down $12, but continues to hold around the $1,300 area. But the industrial metals were a bit firmer. So palladium, which is often considered more of an industrial metal than a precious metal, was up by $12. Copper continues to firm from the $2 area and improved again on that performance today. And silver was also a bit steadier. So the fact that commodities are rallying more on days when the dollar is just a little bit easier and are falling less when the dollar is stronger would suggest that the rebound in the commodity markets is still underway, and that this represents a continued bullish environment overall. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.